probably thinking what I've been thinking each morning. Where in the hell are we today? But today we're not going to be in Inferno. We're going to look at another work of Dante. So I had to get that one in before it was too late. Kenelm Foster, in his early book, God's Tree, commented, quote, "One result of studying Dante may be an increasing sense of the disparity between the Divine Comedy and the poet's minor works. The two-volume pattern, the masterpiece, and the rest is familiar enough," unquote. We read Dante's other writings to learn more about the mind that fashioned the Divine Comedy. In the last decade of his life, Dante completed two works, the Comedy in Italian and the Monarchia in Latin. W.H.V. Reed wrote in 1916, quotes, "The De Monarchia owes the greater part of its importance to the fact that it was written by the author of the Divina Commedia." Monarchia has been read in many ways as a stage in the growth of Dante's thought, a response to the political crisis that arose when Henry VII of Luxembourg entered Italy to reestablish the Holy Roman Empire. He reigned from 1308 to 1313. As a reflection on the quarrel between Guelph and Ghibelline in the 13th and 14th century Italy, and as a contribution to the tradition of Western political thought stretching back to Aristotle and forward to today. We can also discuss Monarchia's relevance to the political problems of our own day. All these approaches are valid. They do not contradict one another, although it's difficult when concentrating on one of them not to marginalize the others. I plan to concentrate on what Monarchia says, how it fits into the development of Western political thought, and its possible contemporary relevance. But in so doing, I do not mean to reject other approaches. 20th century political thinkers have responded to Monarchia very differently. When Herbert W. Schneider of Columbia University translated it as On World Government in 1949, he was convinced that its contemporary relevance was obvious. Schneider wrote, quotes, "Dante intended this essay to be useful to posterity as well as to his own time. No reader of even a few of its trenchant lines can escape the impression that in this book, Dante is speaking to us as well as to his contemporaries. His basic intellectual and political problems are ours. They are again basic, as they were in his day, more basic than during the intervening centuries, when the practical needs and programs of European peoples carried them off in other directions. Today, however, Dante's ideal, if not his arguments, seemed intensely relevant and practical. No one can read it with indifference," end quote. So, Professor Herbert Schneider of Columbia, 1949. If Schneider had taken the subway downtown to New York University in Greenwich Village, he could have found in James Burnham, a political philosopher whose view of Monarchia differed widely from his own. Burnham began his book, The Machiavellians, published in 1943, by a critical analysis treating Monarchia as a type case of failed political thinking. Burnham pulls no punches. Quote, "Taking the treatise at face value and judging it as a study of politics, it's worthless. Totally worthless." Just in case we missed the first time. Dante's arguments consist of, quotes, "pointless metaphysical and logical distinctions, distorted analogies, garbled historical references, appeals to miracles, and arbitrarily selected authorities," end quotes. Its real meaning, however, is not to be found in what Burnham called the, quote, "mythical world of religion, metaphysics, miracles, and pseudo-history," end quotes. Oh, no. Burnham says, quote, "De Monarchia is, we might say, a Ghibelline party platform," end quote. When he says party platform, Burnham is referring to his earlier discussion in Machiavellians of the 1932 platform of the Democratic Party, which probably most of you know, called for, among other things, quotes, "an immediate and drastic reduction of government expenditure."